Well, hello, everybody, once again, and welcome to Reading with Rick. How are you tonight? Did you have a good day? I had a really good day today. And we've got a lot of things to talk about tonight and read. Well, let's tell you what we're going to read tonight, first of all. Our first story, last night, we talked about cows. The night before that, we talked about a cat. Tonight, we're going to talk about a giraffe. And the name of tonight's book is Giraffes Can't Dance. It was written by Giles Andretti and Guy Parker Reese. Giraffes Can't Dance. And it's going to be a really fun one. I really want you to try and imagine all the animals and all the things, because this is going to take place in the jungle. So think of all the jungle animals that you know. We got to say hello. Boy, a lot of people tonight want to listen in. And how about Braden and Preston and Jackson Ottman? How about Madison Call? Maddie is listening again. Jaden Young. Hi, Jaden. How are you tonight? Little David and Little Jessica listened last night, and maybe they're listening again. We want to say a very special hello to a young man, Malachi. How are you doing, Malachi? I hope you're doing well. Carson, Blake, and Lane Klein, they're listening to tonight's stories. They're excited for Giraffes Can't Dance, I bet. We got some listeners in Sartell tonight. Leo and Emmett Miller. How are you doing, Leo and Emmett? Are you ready to listen to Giraffes Can't Dance? And we also have Matea Brady and Shane Polkamp. They're listening. They're snuggled in under their blankets and ready to follow along because they've even got a copy of the second book we're going to read tonight. We're going back to the Magic Treehouse for that one. And that one is called Pirates Past Noon. So we've seen dinosaurs and castles and knights and all kinds of fun adventures. And last night we saw mummies and pyramids. Tonight we're going to see pirates and pirate treasure. So let's start with our first book. It's called Giraffes Can't Dance. And the first page, we can see that there's going to be a lot of dancing because there's three monkeys and they all have their arms hooked together and they're kicking and dancing away. And then the next page, a couple of warthogs are dancing with each other. And there's a big leaf there and a whole bunch of ants are sitting on it laughing and dancing at them. And now the reading. There is a big African plain and there are monkeys sitting in the tree. And there's a lion in the grass and a turtle in the grass. And there's a ladybug on the leaf. And right there standing on a little hill is a big giraffe. His name is Gerald. Gerald was a tall giraffe whose neck was long and slim, but his knees were awfully crooked and his legs were rather thin. He was very good at standing still and munching shoots off trees, but when he tried to run around, he buckled at the knees. Oh, they show Gerald. He's up and reaching up into the trees with that long neck and he's eating some leaves, but then they show him trying to run and he's got those long legs and he falls over into a big cloud of dust. And now we see a picture and all the animals of the jungle are gathered together. Now, every year in Africa, they hold the jungle dance, where every single animal turns up to skip and prance. And this year, when the day arrived, poor Gerald felt so sad, because when it came to dancing, he was really very bad. Let's see all these animals here that are there at the dance. There's a couple of frogs, there's zebras, there's lions, there's a couple of small mice, some warthogs, there's an antelope and some wildebeest. There's two elephants, and right next to them are two hippopotamuses, two leopards, a couple of hyenas, meerkats are at the dance, some lizards, some aardvarks, some snakes, some cheetahs, and some monkeys. Wow, there's a lot of animals all gathered around for the jungle dance. And Gerald is feeling sad because he's bad at dancing. The warthogs started waltzing, and the rhinos rock and rolled. The lions danced a tango that was elegant and bold. The chimps all did a cha-cha with a very Latin feel, and eight baboons then teamed up for a splendid Scottish reel. Oh, you can see those monkeys dancing with each other, swinging around. Gerald swallowed bravely as he walked toward the floor, but the lions saw him coming, and they soon began to roar. "Hey, look at clumsy Gerald," the animals all sneered. "Giraffes can't dance, you silly fool. Oh, Gerald, you're so weird." And right in the middle of the jungle, there's a big fire, and that's what's lighting things up, because this dance must happen at night. So they have a fire going for the animals, and they're all gathered around in a big circle, and Gerald thought about going out to dance, but all the other animals are laughing at him. That's not very nice, is it? Gerald simply froze up. He was rooted to the spot. "They're right," he thought. "I'm useless. Oh, I feel like such a clot." So he crept off from the dance floor, and he started walking home. He'd never felt so sad before, so sad and so alone. And Gerald was walking off into the jungle, and all the other animals stayed by the fire and started to dance again. And Gerald kept walking through the jungle. And then he found a little clearing, and he looked up at the sky. "The moon can be so beautiful," he whispered with a sigh. "Excuse me," coughed a cricket who'd seen Gerald earlier on, "but sometimes when you're different, you just need a different song." A cricket is talking to Gerald. "Listen to the swaying grass and listen to the trees. To me, the sweetest music is those branches in the breeze. So imagine that the lovely moon is playing just for you. Everything makes music if you really want it to." So the cricket is encouraging Gerald. He's being a good friend. With that, the cricket smiled and picked up his violin. Then Gerald felt his body do the most amazing thing. His hooves had started shuffling, making circles on the ground. His neck was gently swaying. His tail was swishing around. He threw his arms out sideways, and he swung them everywhere. And then he did a backward somersault and leapt up in the air. That's quite a feat for a big giraffe, but he did it. Gerald jumped up and did a big somersault. Gerald felt so wonderful. His mouth was open wide. "I am dancing. Yes, I'm dancing. I'm dancing," Gerald cried. And then one by one, each animal who'd been there at the dance arrived while Gerald boogied on and watched him quite entranced. So all those other animals, they left the fire. They came to see Gerald dance in that opening in the jungle. They shouted, "It's a miracle. We must be in a dream. Gerald's the best dancer that we've ever seen. How did you learn to dance like that? Please, Gerald, tell us how. but Gerald simply twirled around and finished with a bow. Then he raised his head and looked up at the moon and stars above. "We all can dance," he said, "when we find music that we love." The end. That's the end of Giraffes Can't Dance. So that's a good lesson that you can always have fun. No matter what other people tell you, don't listen to them when they're being mean to you. And Gerald did that, and he learned to dance, and he turned out to be the very best dancer. And all the other ones were happy for him when he learned to dance. So that is Giraffes Can't Dance. We also want to wish a very well get well to Fiona. Fiona, we hope you get well. That's never fun what you went through today, is it? No, that's not fun. So get well, Fiona. So we're reading a book. We just finished with Giraffes Can't Dance. We're going to have another trip to the Magic Treehouse with Jack and Annie. Pirates Past Noon. But yeah, we're reading books every night here, reading with Rick. And just think about that. Just because you don't have to wait for me to come on and read to you, the great things about books, you can pick up a book anytime you want. They let you travel. You don't even have to move your feet. We've seen that in the Magic Treehouse. Reading gives you some place to go when you have to stay in like we do now. You can travel like we do in a book. Do you know who Dr. Seuss is? Dr. Seuss is was a great writer of children's books. And he said, "You can find magic wherever you look. Sit back, relax. All you need is a book." And that is absolutely right. So we're going to take that little break that we take every night after the first book and get ready for the second. And that's going to be a trip back to the Magic Treehouse, Pirates Past Noon. So we'll see you in a couple minutes when we come back for more Reading with Rick. Is everybody ready to dig into another travel adventure with Jack and Annie from the Magic Treehouse? If I don't write these down, I'm going to pretty soon lose track of where Jack and Annie have all been. Now, if you haven't been with us every night, the first night they went through the Magic Treehouse to the land of dinosaurs, and they found... Was that the night they found the gold medallion with an M on it? And then they went to a castle and saw some knights. and he found a bookmark with an M on it. Last night, they went to Egypt and the pyramids and saw a mummy. And when they got back to the treehouse, there was an M on the floor of the treehouse. And they don't know what the M means. So tonight, they're going to the treehouse. And again, this is Pirates Past Noon. These books are written by Mary Pope Osborne. I hope you're liking them as much as I am. 10 chapters. Here we go. Where are they going? They're going to see some pirates. Chapter 1. Too late. Jack stared out his bedroom window. The rain kept falling and falling. The TV said it would stop by noon, said Annie, his 7-year-old sister. It's already past noon, said Jack. But we have to go to the treehouse, said Annie. I have the feeling that the M person will be there today. Jack pushed his glasses into place and took a deep breath. He wasn't sure he was ready to meet the M person yet. The mysterious person who had put all the books in the magic treehouse. Come on, said Annie. Jack sighed. Okay, you get your raincoat and boots. I'll get the medallion and bookmark. Annie ran to get their rain gear. Jack reached into his drawer. He took out the medallion. It was gold. The letter M was engraved on it. Then he took out the bookmark. It was made of blue leather. It had the same M on it. Both M's matched the M that was on the floor of the treehouse. Jack put the medallion and the bookmark into his backpack. Then he threw in his notebook and his pencil. Jack liked to take notes about important things. I got our rain stuffs, called Annie. Jack picked up his pack and went downstairs. Annie was waiting by the back door. She was putting on her boots. Meet you outside, she said. Jack pulled out his raincoat and boots. Then he put on his backpack and joined her. The wind was blowing hard. Ready, set, go, shouted Annie. They kept their heads down and charged into the rainy wind. And soon they were in the Frog Creek Woods. Tree branches swayed, flinging rainwater everywhere. Yuck, said Annie. They splashed through puddles until they came to the tallest oak tree in the woods. And they looked up. Tucked between two branches was the treehouse. It looked dark and lonely against the stormy sky. Hanging from the treehouse was a rope ladder. It was blowing in the wind. Jack thought of all the books up there. He hoped they weren't getting wet. The M person's been there, said Annie. Jack caught his breath. How can you tell? I can feel it, she whispered. She grabbed the rope ladder and started up, and Jack followed. Inside the treehouse, it was chilly and damp, but the books were dry. They were all neatly stacked along the wall, just the way they'd been the day before. Annie picked up a castle book on top of one stack. It had taken them to the time of castles. Remember the knight, she said. Jack nodded. He would never forget the knight who would help them. Annie put down the castle book. She picked up the next book on the stack. It was the dinosaur book that had taken them to the time of dinosaurs. Remember, she said. Jack nodded. He'd never forget the pteranodon who had saved him from the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Then Annie held up a book about ancient Egypt. Meow, she said. Jack smiled. The Egypt book had taken them to the time of pyramids, and a black cat had come to the rescue there. And here's the book about home, Annie said. She held up the book with the picture of their hometown in it, Frog Creek, Pennsylvania. Jack smiled again. The Pennsylvania book had brought them back home at the end of each of their adventures. Jack sighed. Okay, he still had two main questions. who was the M person who had put all the books here, and did the knight, the pteranodon, and the cat all know the M person? Jack finally reached into his backpack. He took out the gold medallion and the leather bookmark. He placed them on the floor, right over the spot where the M glowed faintly in the wood. Rain blew into the treehouse. "Brr," said Annie, "it's not very cozy today." Jack agreed with her. It was too wet and cold. "Look," Annie pointed to an open book lying in the corner. "I don't remember a book being open."
"Me neither," said Jack.
Annie picked up the book. She stared at the picture on the page.
"Wow, this place looks great,"
and she showed the picture to Jack. He saw a sunny beach, a big green parrot sitting in a palm tree, and a ship sailing on a blue sea. Another gust of rainy wind blew into the treehouse, and Annie pointed to the picture.
"I wish we were there instead of here," she said.
"Yeah," said Jack, "but where is here?"
"Ah, too late!"
Jack and Annie turned quickly. Sitting on a branch outside the window ledge of the treehouse was a green parrot, exactly like the parrot that was in the picture of the book.
"Ah, too late!"
"A talking parrot," said Annie. "Is your name Polly? Can I call you Polly?" Suddenly, the wind started to whistle. "Oh, no, now we're in big trouble," said Jack, and the wind blew harder, and the leaves shook, and the treehouse started to spin faster and faster. Jack squeezed his eyes shut, and then everything was still, absolutely still. Jack opened his eyes.
"Ah, too late!"
Chapter 2. The Bright Blue Sea. Jack felt hot sunlight streaming into the treehouse. He smelled salt water, and he heard the sound of waves. He and Annie looked out the window. The treehouse was in a palm tree. Beyond was a bright blue sea. And when he looked out onto the sea, there was a tall sailing ship just on the horizon. And it was just like the picture in the book.
"Ah, too late!"
"Look," said Annie.
Polly was flying in circles above the treehouse. And then she swooped down towards the ocean.
"Come on, let's follow her. Let's go in the water," said Annie.
She took off her raincoat and dropped it on the floor.
"Wait, we have to study the book first," said Jack.
And he started to reach for the book, but Annie grabbed it.
"You can read it on the beach," she said.
And without even looking at the cover, she shoved the book into Jack's backpack. He sighed. Actually, the water did look wonderful. "Okay," said Jack, and he took off his raincoat too.
"Come on,"
Annie handed Jack his backpack and started down the ladder. Jack folded the raincoat and put it next to the stack of books. He put it on his backpack and then went down the ladder. As soon as Annie hit the sand, she ran toward the ocean. Jack watched her wade into the water. She was still wearing her rain boots.
"Your boots, Annie," called Jack.
She just shrugged.
"They'll dry out."
Jack took off his boots and socks. He put them beside his pack, and then he rolled up his jeans and ran across the hot sand right into the waves. Oh, the water was warm and clear. Jack could see shells and tiny fishes. He shielded his eyes against the sun, and then he peered out at the sea. Hey, was the tall sailing ship getting closer? "Where's Polly?" said Annie. Jack glanced around. No sign of Polly,
not in the palm trees, not on the sunlit sand, and not over the bright blue sea. When Jack looked out at the sea again, the ship seemed even closer, and now Jack could see its flag. As he stared at the ship's flag, a chill went through him. The flag was black, with a skull and crossbones. "Oh, man," he breathed and started out of the water. "What's wrong?" said Annie, and she splashed after him. Jack ran to his backpack, and Annie followed him. He grabbed the book from his backpack. He looked at the cover, and for the first time, he and Annie read the title of the book. "Yikes," said Annie. Jack read aloud, "Pirates of the Caribbean." Chapter 3. Three Men in a Boat. "We've come to the time of pirates," Jack said.
"Pirates?" squeaked Annie. "Like in Peter Pan?"
Jack flipped to the picture that showed the parrot, the sea, and the ship. He read the caption under the picture. 300 years ago, pirates raided Spanish treasure ships in the Caribbean Sea. Jack grabbed his notebook and pencil from his pack. He wrote, "Pirates in the Caribbean." He turned to the next page in the book. There was a picture of a pirate flag. He read, "The skull and crossbones flag was called the Jolly Roger."
"Let's go," said Annie.
"Wait," said Jack. "I want to make a drawing of the flag." He propped the pirate book up in the sand. He started drawing the Jolly Roger flag.
"Don't copy the picture in the book," said Annie. "Look at the real thing."
But Jack pushed his glasses into place, and he kept drawing.
"Jack, some pirates are getting into a rowboat," said Annie.
But Jack kept drawing.
"Jack, the boat's leaving the big ship," said Annie.
"What?" And Jack looked up.
"Look,"
Annie pointed. Jack looked. He saw the rowboat coming toward shore.
"Run," said Annie,
and she started running toward the treehouse. Jack jumped up. His glasses fell off.
"Hurry,"
Annie called back to him. But Jack went down to his knees. He felt for his glasses. Where were they? And then Jack saw something glinting in the sand. He reached for it. It was his glasses. He snatched them up. Then he threw his notebook and pencil into his pack, and he put the pack on his back. He grabbed his boots and his socks, and he took off running.
"Hurry, they're coming!"
Annie was at the top of the rope ladder. Jack looked back at the sea. The pirates were closer to the shore. Suddenly, Jack saw the pirate book. In all the confusion, he'd forgotten it. It was still propped up in the sand. "Oh, man, I forgot the book," he said. He dropped his socks and boots below the treehouse.
"Come on, Jack," Annie shouted.
"I'll be right back," Jack called.
"I've got to get the book."
"Jack, forget it." But Jack was already running toward the water. Jack grabbed the book.
"Come back," Annie shouted.
Jack shoved the book into his backpack, and suddenly a giant wave carried the rowboat right onto the beach.
"Run, Jack!" shouted Annie,
and three big pirates splashed onto the sand. They had knives in their teeth. They had pistols in their belts. They charged towards Jack.
"Run, Jack, run!" cried Annie.
Chapter 4. Vile Booty. Jack started to run across the hot sand. He ran as fast as he could, but the pirates ran faster. Before Jack knew it, the biggest pirate had grabbed him. Jack struggled, but the pirate had huge, strong arms. He held on to Jack and laughed a mean, ugly laugh. He had a shaggy black beard, and he had a patch covering one eye. Jack heard Annie yelling. He saw her coming down the rope ladder.
"Stay where you are," Jack shouted.
But Annie kept coming.
"Leave him alone, you bully," she cried.
The two other pirates laughed meanly. They were dirty and ragged. Annie charged up to the biggest pirate.
"Let him go," she said,
and she hit the pirate with her fist and she kicked him. But the pirate just growled. Then he grabbed her, too, and with his giant hands, he held Jack and Annie as if they were two kittens.
"No one escapes Cap'n Bones," he roared. His breath was terrible.
"Let go!"
Annie shouted into his face.
But Cap'n Bones just smiled. All his teeth were black.
Annie fell silent. Cap'n Bones laughed loudly. Then he turned to the other two.
"Find out what's in their house, you dogs," he said.
"Aye, aye, Captain," they answered,
and they started up the ladder to the treehouse.
"What do you spy, Pinky?"
shouted Cap'n Bones.
"Books, Captain,"
Pinky shouted down.
"Argh, books," growled the Captain. He spit on the sand. "I want gold, you dogs."
"Dogs are nicer than you," said Annie.
"Shh," said Jack. "What about you, Stinky?"
Cap'n Bones roared.
"Just books, Cap'n," shouted Stinky.
"Argh, books," said Cap'n Bones. He spit on the sand again. "I hate books. Keep looking, dogs. Find me something good."
Cap'n Bones grabbed Jack's backpack.
"What's in here?" he said.
"Nothing." Jack quickly opened the pack. "Just paper, a pencil, and a book."
"Another book," roared Cap'n Bones. "That's vile booty."
A gleeful shriek pierced the air. Cap'n Bones froze.
"What's that?"
he shouted.
"Look, Cap'n, look!"
Pinky leaned out the treehouse window. He held the medallion. It glimmered in the sunlight. "Oh, brother," thought Jack.
"Throw it down," cried Cap'n Bones.
"It's not yours," shouted Annie.
Cap'n Bones dropped Jack and Annie. He caught the medallion as it fell.
"Gold, gold, gold," he cried.
Cap'n Bones threw back his head and laughed horribly. And then he grabbed two of his pistols and shot them in the air. Pinky and Stinky howled like wolves. Chapter 5. The Kid's Treasure. Jack and Annie watched in horror. The gold-greedy pirates seemed to have lost their minds. Jack nudged Annie. Together they started to back slowly away from the pirates toward the treehouse.
"Halt!"
Captain Bones shouted. He aimed his pistols at them.
"Not another step, lubbers!"
Jack and Annie froze. Captain Bones grinned his black tooth grin.
"Tell old Bones where the rest is," he growled, "or prepare to meet thy doom."
What rest?"
"The rest of the treasure," roared Cap'n Bones. "I know it's on this island. I have a map."
He reached into a belt pouch and pulled out a torn piece of paper. He waved it at Jack and Annie.
"Is that a treasure map?" asked Jack.
"Aye, it's the map telling about Kid's treasure."
"Which kid's treasure? Not us kids," said Annie. "We don't know anything about a kid's treasure."
"Why don't you read the map?" said Jack.
"You read it,"
Cap'n Bones shoved the map in Jack's face. Jack stared at the strange marks on the paper.
"What does that mean?" asked Jack.
"What does what mean?" asked Cap'n Bones.
"Those words."
Jack pointed at the words at the bottom of the map.
"Well, it means it."
Cap'n Bones' good eye squinted at the writing and he frowned. He coughed. He rubbed his nose.
"Aye, leave him alone," Pinky growled at Jack.
"You know he can't read," said Stinky.
"Shut up,"
Cap'n Bones roared at his men.
"Jack and I can read,"
Annie piped up.
"Shh,"
said Jack.
"Cap'n, make him read the map," said Stinky.
Cap'n Bones gave Jack and Annie a dark look.
"Read it," he growled.
"Then will you let us go?" said Jack.
The pirate squinted his good eye.
"Aye, lubber, when the treasure's in me hands, I'll let you go."
"Okay," said Jack, "I'll read it to you." He looked at the map. It says, "The gold doth lie beneath the whale's eye."
"Huh?" Captain Bones scowled. "What's that supposed to mean, lubber?"
Jack shrugged.
"Hang it! Take 'em back to the ship!" shouted Cap'n Jones. "They can rot there till they're ready to tell us how to find Kid's treasure."
Jack and Annie were tossed into the rowboat. Waves splashed the sides. The sky ahead was dark with thunderclouds.
a strong wind had started to blow. Row, dogs, row! And the pirates began to row their boat toward the big ship.
Look,
Annie said to Jack. She pointed towards the shore. Polly the parrot was flying over the sand.
She wants to help us, whispered Annie.
Polly started to fly out over the waves, but the winds were too strong. She turned around and flew back to the island. Chapter 6, The Whale's Eye. The rowboat tossed from side to side. The waves were huge. Salty spray stung Jack's eyes. He was feeling seasick.
Hold her steady, shouted Cap'n Bones. He pointed at the sea, or we'll be meat for those evil brutes.
And dark fins cut through the water. Sharks! One zoomed right by the boat. Jack could have reached out and touched it. He shuddered. Soon, the rowboat pulled alongside the ship. The air was filled with wild fiddle music and bagpipes playing, and Jack heard jeers, shouts, ugly laughter, and singing.
Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
Your heart is free. Being a pirate is a wretched thing. Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
Hoist him aboard, Cap'n Bones shouted to his men.
Annie and Jack were hauled onto the deck. The ship creaked and moaned, and it rolled from side to side. Ropes flapped and snapped in the wild wind. And everywhere they looked, Jack and Annie saw pirates. Some were dancing, some were drinking, many were fighting with swords, or fighting with their fists.
Lock 'em up in me cabin,
Cap'n Bones ordered, and a couple of pirates grabbed Jack and Annie, and they threw them in the ship's cabin and locked the door. The air inside the cabin was damp and sour-smelling. A shaft of gray light came through a small, round window. Oh, man, said Jack. We've got to figure out how to get back to the island.
So we can get into the treehouse and go home, said Annie.
Right, Jack suddenly felt tired. How would they ever get out of this mess? We better examine the book, he said. He reached into his pack and pulled out the pirate book, and he began to flip through the pages. He looked for information to help them. Look, he said. He found a picture of pirates burying a treasure chest. This might help. And together they read the words under the picture. Captain Kidd was a famous pirate. It is said that he buried a treasure chest on a deserted island. The chest was filled with gold and jewels.
Captain Kidd, said Jack. So that's the kid that Bones keeps talking about, said Annie.
Right, said Jack. Annie looked out the round window.
And Captain Kidd's treasure is buried somewhere on the island, she said.
Jack took out his notebook and pencil, and he wrote, Captain Kidd's treasure on island.
Jack, Annie said. Shh, wait a minute, he said. I'm thinking. Guess what I see, said Annie.
What, he asked. He looked back at the book.
A whale.
Neat, he said. Then he looked up.
A whale? Did you say a whale? A whale. A huge whale, as big as a football field.
Jack jumped up and looked out the window with her.
Where? Jack asked.
All he could see was the island and stormy waves and shark fins.
There, said Annie.
Where? Where?
There. The island is shaped like a giant whale.
Oh, man, whispered Jack.
Now he could see it. See the whale's back, said Annie.
Yep, the slope of the island looked just like the back of a whale.
See his spout, said Annie.
Yep, the palm tree that held the treehouse looked like the spout of the whale.
See his eye, said Annie.
Yep, a big black rock looked like the eye of the whale. "The gold doth lie beneath the whale's eye," whispered Jack. Wow. Chapter 7, Gales A-Blowin'. "So the treasure must be under that rock," said Annie. "Right," said Jack. "Now we just have to get back to the island. We'll show Cap'n Bones where the treasure is. Then, while all the pirates are digging, we'll sneak up to the treehouse and make a wish to go home," said Annie. "Right," Jack poked his head out of the round cabin window. "Cap'n Bones, sir," he shouted. The pirates took up the cry. "Cap'n Bones! Cap'n Bones!" "Eh?" came a terribly horrible voice. Cap'n Bones stuck his ugly face through the window. His good eye glared at Jack. "What do you want, lubbers?"
"We're ready to tell the truth, sir," said Jack.
"Go ahead," growled Cap'n Bones.
"We know where Captain Kidd's treasure is."
"Where?"
"We can't just tell you. We have to show you."
Cap'n Bones gave Annie and Jack a long, hard look.
"You'll need a rope," said Jack. "And shovels," said Annie.
Cap'n Bones growled. Then he roared at his men. "Get some ropes and shovels."
"Aye, aye, Captain."
"Then throw these lubbers in the boat. We're going back to the island." Back in the rowboat, Jack saw the sky had grown even darker with clouds. The waves were bigger. The wind was howling.
"Gales a-blowing," said Pinky.
"You'll see a gale if I don't get me gold today, by thunder," Captain Bones shouted. "Row, dogs, row." And the three pirates rowed their way towards the island, battling the waves until they reached the island and all piled onto the shore. Captain Bones grabbed Jack and Annie.
"Okay, lubbers, now show us where the treasure is."
"There," said Annie,
and she pointed at the black rock near the tip of the island. "Under that rock," said Jack. Cap'n Bones dragged Jack and Annie down the beach to the black rock.
"Get to work," Cap'n Bones said to Pinky and Stinky.
"What about you?" said Annie.
"Me work?" Cap'n Bones chuckled. Jack gulped. How could they get away from him?
"Don't you think you should help your friends?" Jack said.
Cap'n Bones gave Jack a horrible grin.
"No, I'm going to hold you two till there's treasure in me hands."
Chapter 8, Dig, Dogs, Dig. Pinky and Stinky tied their rope around the big rock. The wind howled. The two pirates pulled and pulled and pulled.
"They need help," said Jack.
"Ah, let the dogs do the work," growled Cap'n Bones.
"You're not very nice to them," said Annie.
"Who cares?" roared Cap'n Bones.
"Cap'n, we got it,"
shouted Pinky. They started pulling the rock across the sand.
"Now let's dig where the rock was," said Jack. "All of us."
But Cap'n Bones ignored his suggestion.
"Dig, you dogs!"
Pinky and Stinky started to dig. The wind blew even harder. There was going to be a thunderstorm.
"Ow, I got sand in me eyes," Pinky whined.
"Oh, my back hurts," Stinky cried.
"Dig," shouted Captain Bones. He held Jack and Annie in one hand. With the other, he pulled out the gold medallion. He tossed it at the two pirates. It fell into the hole.
"Dig for more of these, you swine," he said.
"Look," said Annie. Polly was back. She was circling over the pirates and Jack and Annie.
"Go back!"
Stinky and Pinky looked up at the parrot. They scowled.
"Dig!" shouted Captain Bones.
"A big storm is coming, Captain," said Pinky.
"Go back!"
"The bird's an omen, Captain," shouted Stinky.
"Dig, you dogs!" cried Captain Bones one more time.
"Go back!"
The bird's warning us, shouted Pinky. We got to get to the ship before it's too late.
The two pirates threw down their shovels and they started running toward the rowboat.
Mutineers, come back, shouted Captain Bones.
He dragged Jack and Annie down the beach as he ran after his men.
Stop!
But the pirates kept running. They got to the rowboat and pushed it into the sea.
Wait!
Cried Captain Bones. Pinky and Stinky jumped into the boat and started rowing.
Wait!
Captain Bones let go of Jack and Annie, and he ran into the water.
Wait, you dogs!
Captain Bones hauled himself into the rowboat, and then the three pirates disappeared into the spray of the waves. They rowed and they rowed all the way back to their ship.
Go back!
She means us, said Annie.
Just then the storm broke over the island. The wind howled. Rain fell in buckets.
Let's go, cried Annie.
Wait, I have to get the medallion, shouted Jack.
He ran to the hole dug by the pirates, and he looked down in it. Even in the dreary light, the medallion was shining. Big, fat raindrops were falling into the hole, washing away the sand. Jack saw a patch of wood. Then the rain cleared away more sand, and Jack saw the top of an old trunk. He stared. Was it Captain Kidd's treasure chest?
Hurry, Jack, cried Annie. She was halfway up the treehouse ladder. I found it! I found it! Cried Jack. I found the treasure chest!
Forget the treasure chest, said Annie. We have to go now. The storm's getting worse.
Jack kept staring at the chest. Was there gold inside? Silver? Precious gems?
Come on!
Now Annie was shouting from the treehouse window. But Jack couldn't tear himself away. He brushed the rest of the muddy sand off the chest.
Jack, forget about the treasure chest, cried Annie. Let's go!
Go back!
Jack looked at the parrot. She was perched on the black rock. He stared into her eyes. He thought he knew her. He knew her from somewhere else.
Go back, Jack.
Okay, it was definitely time to go. The parrot sounded like a person. Jack took one last look at the treasure chest. He clutched the gold medallion. Then he took off, running toward the treehouse. His socks and rain boots were still there. He quickly pulled the boots on and shoved the socks into his backpack. The rope ladder was dancing wildly in the wind. Jack grabbed it. The ladder swayed as Jack climbed. He was tossed this way and that, but he held on tight, and at last he pulled himself into the treehouse.
Let's go, he cried. Annie was already holding the Pennsylvania book. She pointed to the picture of Frog Creek.
I wish we could go there, she shouted.
And the wind was already blowing hard, but now it blew even harder. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. And then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 9, The Mysterious M. Drip, drip. Jack opened his eyes. Rain was dripping from the leaves of the tree. They were back in Frog Creek. The rain was softer, the wind was gentler, and the air was sweeter.
Oh, man, Jack sighed. That was close.
He was still holding the gold medallion.
Polly's gone, said Annie sadly. I was hoping she might come back with us.
Jack said, no magic creature has ever come back with us. He pulled off his backpack. It was damp with rain and salt water. Jack took out the pirate book. He put it on the stack of books. on top of the dinosaur book and the night book and the mummy book. Then Jack put the gold medallion beside the bookmark with the letter M. Next, he went down onto his knees and ran his finger over the shimmering M on the floor. "We didn't find any M's on this trip," he said.
"Or the M person," said Annie.
"Bah!"
"Polly!" Annie cried, and the parrot swooshed into the treehouse. She perched on the stack of books. Polly looked straight at Jack.
What are you doing here?" he asked her.
And slowly, Polly raised her bright green wings. They grew bigger and bigger until they spread out like a huge green cape. And then, in a great swirl of colors, in a blur of feathers and light, in a flapping and stretching and screeching, a new being took shape. Polly was not a parrot any longer. In her place was an old woman, a beautiful old woman with long white hair and piercing eyes. She wore a green feathered cape. She perched on the stack of books, and she was very calm and very still. Neither Jack nor Annie could speak. They were too amazed.
"Hello, Jack. Hello, Annie," the old woman said. "My name is Morgan Le Fay."
Chapter 10. Treasure Again. Annie found her voice first.
"The M person," she whispered. "Yes, I'm the M person," said Morgan.
Where are you from?" asked Jack.
"Have you ever heard of King Arthur?" said Morgan.
Jack nodded.
"Well, I am King Arthur's sister," said Morgan.
"You're from Camelot," said Jack. "I've read a lot about Camelot."
"What did you read about me, Jack?" said Morgan.
You're a witch."
Morgan smiled. "You can't believe everything you read, Jack."
"But you are a magician?" asked Annie.
"Most call me an enchantress, but I'm also a librarian," said Morgan.
"A librarian?" said Annie.
"Yes, I've come to the 20th century, your time, to collect books." "You're lucky to be born in a time with so many books."
"For the Camelot Library?" asked Jack.
"Precisely," said Morgan. "I travel in this treehouse to collect words from many different places around the world and from many different time periods."
"Did you find books here?" said Jack.
"Oh, yes, many wonderful books. I want to borrow them for our scribes to copy."
"Did you put all the bookmarks in them?" said Jack.
"Yes, you see, I like the pictures in the books. Sometimes I want to visit the scenes in the pictures. So all the bookmarks mark places I wish to go."
"How do you get there?" asked Annie.
"I placed a spell on the treehouse," said Morgan. "So when I point to a picture and make the wish, the treehouse takes me there."
"I think you dropped this in dinosaur time," said Jack, and he handed the gold medallion to Morgan.
"Oh, thank you. I wondered where I'd lost it," she said,
and she put the medallion into a hidden pocket in her cape.
"So can anyone work the spell?" Annie said. "Anyone who tries it?"
"Oh, dear, no, not just anybody," Morgan said.
"You two are the only ones beside me to do it. No one else has ever even seen my treehouse before."
"Is it invisible?" asked Annie.
"Yes," said Morgan. "I had no idea it would ever be discovered. But then you two came along. Somehow you hooked right into my magic."
"How?" asked Jack.
"Well, for two reasons, I think," explained Morgan. "First, Annie believes in magic, so she actually saw the treehouse. And her belief helped you see it too, Jack."
"Oh, man," said Jack.
"Then you picked up a book, Jack, and because you love books so much, you caused my magic spell to work. Wow, said Annie. You can't imagine my dismay when you started to take off for dinosaur times. I had to make a very quick decision, and I decided to come along. Oh, so you were the pteranodon, said Annie, and Morgan smiled. And the cat, and the knight, and Polly. Yes, said Morgan softly. You were all those things to help us? Asked Jack. Yes, but I must go home now. The people in Camelot need my help. You're leaving? Whispered Jack. I'm afraid I must, said Morgan. She picked up Jack's backpack and handed it to him. Jack and Annie picked up their raincoats. It had stopped raining. You won't forget us, will you? Asked Annie as they put their raincoats on. Never, said Morgan. She smiled at both of them. You remind me too much of myself. You love the impossible, Annie, and you love knowledge, Jack. What better combination is there? Morgan Le Fay touched Annie's forehead gently, and then Jack's, and she smiled. Goodbye, she said. Goodbye, said Annie and Jack. Annie left the treehouse first. Jack followed. They climbed down the rope ladder for the last time. They stood below the oak tree and looked up. Morgan was looking out the window, her long white hair blew in the breeze, and suddenly the wind began to blow, and the leaves began to shake, and a loud whistling sound filled the air. Jack covered his ears and squeezed his eyes shut, and then everything was silent, absolutely silent. Jack opened his eyes. The treehouse was gone, all gone, absolutely gone. Annie and Jack stood a moment, staring up at the empty oak tree, listening to the silence. Annie sighed. Let's go. Jack just nodded. He felt too sad to speak. As they started walking, he put his hands into his pockets. He felt something. Jack pulled out the gold medallion. Look, he said, how did... Annie smiled. Morgan must have put it there, she said. But how? Magic, said Annie. I think it means she'll be coming back. Jack smiled. He clutched the medallion as he and Annie took off through the wet, sunny woods. As they walked, the sun shined through the woods and all the wet leaves sparkled. Everything, in fact, was shining. Leaves, branches, puddles, bushes, grass, vines, wild flowers, all glittered like jewels, or gleamed like gold. Annie had been right, thought Jack. Forget the treasure chest. They had treasure at home. A ton of it. Everywhere. The end. That was another great trip from the Magic Treehouse. Pirates Past Noon. A great story. Well, that's all for tonight, kids. I hope you had a great time listening. I hope you come back with me tomorrow. Now, tomorrow night is Friday night, isn't it? Are you like me? Are you kind of losing track of days, having to stay home all the time? I got to look at my watch every once in a while and just remind myself, what day is this? But tomorrow is Friday, and on Friday, we're going to read another. We're going to start tomorrow night with the same type of book that we read every night in the first book, but the second book is going to be a little bit more for the older kids, and maybe even Mom and Dad would enjoy that. That's what we're going to do on Friday night. So we won't be going to the Magic Treehouse tomorrow night, but we will go back to the Magic Treehouse on Monday night, okay? Well, you have a good day tomorrow. Be nice to each other. Did you remember the promise last night? Did you thank Mom and Dad for something today? I hope you did, and I hope you do tomorrow. So that's all for tonight. I hope you have a good night's sleep and a great day tomorrow. Good night, everybody.